1 Samuel chapter number 18, please. Book of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I want to say thank you for praying for us while we were gone. I assume you did. We had a great time. And for 1 week we watched the dolphins. For the next week we watched sheep. And we watched the smart animals float through the water and the dumb animals eat grass. In case you're wondering, my son is now raising sheep. That's Matt. He's all excited about it. How long will that excitement last? Not very long. She's raised a lot of animals in her time. She knows. It's 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And I want to read this entire chapter. It begins by saying, it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. By the way, the queer crowd says this is what they were. How far off they are. It says, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also, it says, in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet the king, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other time, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and who is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Mahalathite, to wife. And Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this matter spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, and he that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter in your Bible. We thank you for the Word of God that we can depend upon. Thank you that we have that which is, thus saith the Lord. I'm so thankful this morning that I don't have to be as a Darwinian that we suppose, but we can be as God's people who knows, thus saith the Lord. And now, Father, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would move upon our hearts, do a work in each and every one, for we need thee. We need your hand of leadership. And Lord, perhaps even one in this room needs you as their Savior. Bless, we pray, in these moments in Christ's name. Amen. It's interesting that David was probably about 13 to 18. Do I have a boy that's 13? Do I have a boy that's 14? Do I have a boy that's 15? Do I have a boy? Huh? Hey, buddy, come here. Yeah, you. Have you noticed the really cool guys? They walk like this. How old are you? 12? You're not a teenager yet? Mom and Dad have another year to relax? I know your brother. They can't relax. I want you to think about something for a moment. He's 12 years old. David possibly was as young as 12 when he slew Goliath. Think about it. We know something from the Word of God. We know that no one was taken into the military who was under 20 years of age. The book of Numbers makes that very clear to us. He says from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go to war, in Israel. They're the ones that do so. And anybody under that age, they were exempt. We also find in chapter 17 and verse 33 of this chapter that Saul described him as a youth, which is an adolescent, which means you're not all there yet. He had three older brothers that were in the military. Matter of fact, they ridiculed him when he showed up wondering why they were allowing Goliath to taunt him. And so we find that there were four brothers who were perhaps not old enough to join. And this probably put him somewhere around the age of maybe as young as 12. Can you imagine this young guy standing up against Goliath? Can you imagine yourself watching some sheep and a bear comes and killing the bear? Can you think of yourself as a lion approaches? Which direction are you going to go? He went towards the lion because he was protecting his sheep. David was probably about this age. You can be seated. I want you to get a little picture. No matter what his age was, we do know it was young. He became the conquering hero. Not only had he slain a bear and a lion, but now we find that he comes up against the enemy of Israel, Goliath of the Philistines. And we find, and we know the story, how he took five smooth stones and he put four of them in a little bag and the other in a sling. Somebody said, why did he take five stones? Goliath had four brothers. Maybe that's why, I don't know. But this I do know. He became the conquering hero, and when the women sang about it in their grand entrance back from battle, Saul became insanely jealous. He's jealous because they attribute to David 10,000s and he only has thousands. There's something marvelous in this chapter that I want us to see this morning. Because three times we find something that's said about David that needs to be so true of each and every one of us. And that is, he behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself wisely. Verse number 5, it says, Saul went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Here's a young man, maybe as young as 12, 13, 14, maybe 15 years of age. And we find it in his actions and the way he handled himself. He regained the respect and admiration of these soldiers. And I believe there's some reason why he was accepted into their sight. One of the things is that behaving wisely was to be obedient to the higher authority. Here's where it is said that he behaved himself wisely. Why? Because he did what Saul told him to do. God-given wisdom is always under his authority and anyone he places over us. Think about this. It's wise to obey your parents. Now, some parents are wishy-washy and they need a spanking instead of you. But listen, there is in the life of most young people parents who love their children enough that they will discipline them. And when I use the word discipline, I'm not talking about time out. I'm not talking about talking to them. I'm talking about the old switch you can get off the tree. You believe in hitting children? No, I believe in what God tells us to do, and that is to discipline them. By the way, if you do it in anger and frustration, I would call it child abuse. But you can do the very same thing, and it's love for the child. There is a difference. Wisdom is doing what God has told us to do. He was placed in the position as a commander as a result of his bravery and his wisdom in battle. He had learned at a very young age as God gave him a lion, a bear to do battle with. And from this verse, it seems that his wise behavior brought him the respect and acceptance of the people. How else would you get a young man of that age to lead an army of trained fighting men? This would be like a second lieutenant fresh out of college, much older, I would say, put in charge of a seasoned staff sergeant and trying to tell him how to do it. And yet they respected him. What was it about him? He knew how to behave himself wisely. By the way, young folks, you know where wisdom comes from? A lot of folks say wisdom comes from experience. No, wisdom comes from God. If any man lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He behaved himself wisely, and he was accepted by the people and by these fighting men who were strong, who were mighty. If you drop down with me to verse number 14, we notice once again, it says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. First of all, let's notice something. That is, wise behavior is noted by other people. If you see there, it says Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely. His wise behavior, by the way, wasn't periodic. It was consistent. It was there constantly. And people can plainly see that it is of God. It's interesting here. It tells us that Saul was afraid of him. Here's the king of Israel, and he's scared of this young lad. But the word afraid carries with it the idea of standing in awe. It's seeing the power of another. He had a power with him because he behaved himself wisely, and they fear to disrupt him. It's an admiration or reverence produced by that which is grand or extremely powerful. How did David show himself powerful? Oh, yes, he slew Goliath, but he behaved himself wisely afterwards. And thus we find that Saul comes to the conclusion that his only recourse is to eliminate David. And thus we find it, he seeks to do so by using his enemies, the Philistines, and telling David, hey, listen, if you'll bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines, I will give you my daughter to wife. And David goes out and brings back 200. I wonder what kind of effect that had on Saul. The wisdom and bravery of David caused the plan of King Saul to backfire, and his fear grew and was worse than before. In verse number 28, it says, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. By the way, you act in wisdom, you will have enemies. You will have those who are against you. But mark it down, with the wisdom of God, you can be the victor. It is available for us. And we come to the last verse in this chapter, and it says, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth." Think about it for a moment. David had just went in and slew 200 men. And it says, "The princes of the Philistines went forth." It sounds to me like these were people who were trying to retaliate against David's slaughter of the 200 men. It says, "It came to pass after they went forth that David," what? "Behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." David exhibits greater military skill than any of the other officers. He made the right decisions, even under tremendous pressure. Why? Because he had wisdom. Now, it's good to have knowledge. It's good to know things. It's good to look and to study things. When I was in my teenage years, I got really enthused about dolphins. Back then, they called them porpoises. And I wrote a term paper, and I studied those things. I was so glad 2 weeks ago to sit on our balcony and look out and see them swim by out front. And what I did at that time is I began to realize that as men were studying these animals, they were coming to the conclusion that they were probably the most smart animal on the planet. I wasn't going to say, except for man, but always remember, you're not an animal. You're not a higher animal. That is evolutionary garbage. You are a direct creation of God into manhood. But knowledge is retaining the facts. But all the facts can be up in our minds, but if we don't know how to use them, that's what wisdom is. Taking those facts and making the appropriate decisions as a result of that. And so here we find him in this tremendous position, and he is making wise decisions. I mentioned earlier, that doesn't come with age. That doesn't come with experience, but a nearness to the author of wisdom. Think about it for a moment. God used David to write much of the book of Psalms, which is a collection of songs about David's relationship with God. Think of the one little phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." We can preach whole message on just those 4 or 5 words. "For he is the one who leads us. He is the shepherd. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that takes us to our food source. He's the one to make sure that we have water to drink. He's the one to make sure that all of our needs are taken care of. The Lord is my shepherd." And David understood that, and he understood his relationship with God through that. And this all developed on the hillside with his flock of sheep. I will say to you this morning, I feel sorry for most of our young people in cities. They never get to experience what farm life is like, especially if they have some animals. It does something. I remember as a little boy, 3 years old, mom and dad asleep on a Sunday afternoon, taking a nap that they so much deserved. You know where I was at? I was out with the feeder pigs. I had one that was my favorite. It was my pet. Out of 50 of them, I could tell that one. I probably didn't really know, but I thought it was mine. And I was out there in the middle of those pigs trying to ride him. But I learned something about pigs. They grow into hogs, and they're mean, and they're tough, and they stink. My sister was dating my brother-in-law, and before they was married, of course, they were on a double date. How many remember the old stockyards in South Omaha? How could you forget that? And if you drove near to it, how did you know you were near to them? The smell. Now you got to understand something. At the time this was taking place, we were living on a farm out near Mineola. We had cattle, we had sheep, we had hogs, and we had a ton of chickens. We had geese that roamed around. I mean, if it had legs and it could do something, we had it. I think we even raised dogs for people. No, that's not true. I was thinking about eating them. Never mind. Just leave that alone. On their double date, they get over near the stockyards, and the other three, they start saying, "Man, this thing stinks." You know what my sister said? "This smells like home." She got to grow up with some of that and to have some of those experiences. And David had some of those. And as he stood there and watched those sheep, listen, this week I learned something about sheep I didn't know. Do you know sheep have a blind spot? They cannot look straight at you. They got to turn their head a little bit because right straight is a blind spot. I didn't know that. So if you ever see a sheep with their head turned just a little bit, it's because they can't see you otherwise. Also learned something else. It was neat because when sheep are eating, you know what they're doing? They're constantly watching. Now, though they have a blind spot, they can roll their eyes much farther than you and I can. By the way, they can almost do almost a 360 in some regards. But they can raise their eyes. Listen, if you were down there eating like this, listen, all I can see is these young girls' feet. But they have an ability to lift their eyes up to see what's coming. David observed all of that. And I'm sure in some way, somehow, as he's observing that, he's seeing God in all that because he's seen what God did. And he taught his son the value of this kind of wisdom. No wonder when he asked for whatever he wanted, Solomon said, "I need wisdom." The book of Proverbs makes this abundantly clear. Listen to these verses in chapter 2. It begins by saying, "My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." By the way, those are verses about school time. And how we need to what? Seek after the knowledge and the wisdom that God has for us. David behaved himself wisely. Now think about this verse. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, it might be the key verse to the entire book. He says, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God." The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. You say you're supposed to be afraid of God? If you're doing something wrong, you better be. Because God, though He's a God of love, God is also a God of judgment. You see, God is righteous and God is holy. And when you and I begin to fear Him and who He really is, that's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible also says in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you know why we have a whole lot of people with PhDs that are stupid as a rock? They don't have the fear of God. And in their case, that PhD stands for post hole digger or piled higher and deeper. I don't care what you put on it. But if you have not the wisdom of God, listen, it's all of no avail. How do you get the wisdom of God? Have a fear of God. And by the way, the first thing you better fear is that He can put you in hell because of your sin. And that you need Jesus Christ, your Savior. You see, in that, just that little phrase, we're talking about the fear of God and the love of God. We need a Savior because we're sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus died for us. We talked about my son and his sheep. All throughout the Word of God, we find that God had His people sacrifice lambs and sheep. They were used, their blood would be shed. It did not pay for sin, but was a picture of the one who did die and paid for our sin with His blood. That's why the Lord is my shepherd, because He was also my sheep. He died in my place. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you walking wisely in the wisdom of God? In these days, listen, we have so many things we've seen the last couple years that we need the wisdom of God to go through. We need that. It was described for us very vividly in Sunday school. Some of the things that sit out there against us. Only touched on some of it. And we need the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. Parents, you need the wisdom of God. You only got one chance at this thing of parenting. Don't blow it. Seek the wisdom of God. Father, today work in hearts. Help us, O God, to have the desires Solomon wrote of, that we seek it as a man would seek after silver. In our money-hungry age, oh, if we would seek after You and Your knowledge and Your wisdom, how much greater. I pray You would instill that into our hearts. Work and bless. And Lord, I pray for any in this room that might be lost today, never accepted by a Savior. I pray today be a day of salvation. For I pray in Christ's name, amen.